Monster Man, Episode 114, Magnesium Spirit to Measle. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we'll be talking about a real mixed bag of creatures from the M section of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. So let's get started. Our first entry is the Magnesium Spirit. This was created by Nick Louth, who's also the author of The Camadan and The Hornet, Giant, and it is a real weirdie. Basically, the Magnesium Spirits are this small group of evil spirits that were summoned to this plane, you know, once upon a time, and all they really want to do is get into a human body so they can cast the spell that will return them home. And to do this, they need to be in a body that is of they need to be 5th level or higher, and since they have level drain, and they level drain as part of the possession, that means that they need to go up into a character of 9th level or higher, but they don't seem to be able to tell what level you are. I'm not quite clear on this, because it says, you know, oh, well, they might get into someone who's 8th level, and then, you know, if they reduce them to 4th, they won't be capable of casting the spell, and then they'll leave the body, and that person will be basically a brain-dead husk who can't even be resurrected. These guys are pretty buff. Essentially, they're only vulnerable to holy water, they've got good magic resistance, only magical or silver weapons can hurt them, and they've got a couple of pretty good attacks. So, they're interesting opponents, but I feel like they're really the boss fight of an implied scenario about preventing these evil spirits from returning to their home plane. Although, why you'd want to prevent them from returning to their home plane, I'm not sure. But maybe you have some method of, you know, binding them or whatever. These guys are actually not terrible. I like the idea that, you know, they have an intelligible objective and they just don't care who they hurt to achieve it. What is weird, I think probably the biggest stumbling block I have with these spirits is, why are they magnesium? Like, why magnesium specifically? They do have a kind of burning power, or I guess a blinding power. They sort of burst into a brilliant flash of white light, which can blind you. And that, of course, I guess, the idea that goes with magnesium, which is used in flares and stuff. Still, though, there's something about calling it the Magnesium Spirit, which makes it feel very kind of modern and scientific. And I understand that, you know, people have known about magnesium for a long time. But still, that's sort of the way that it feels, which is kind of weird when you're dealing with a creature that otherwise is, you know, an evil spirit summoned to this plane by a wizard and it wants to possess people and then cast a magic spell. There's something about it that just feels a little strange. There are a number of things that the Magnesium Spirit does that make me want to ask Nick Louth what his players did to him. Like, for instance, it automatically wins initiative even against characters that have haste on. That feels... sure, it's very, very fast. It's faster than any human could possibly be, even with magical support, I suppose. But it just kind of feels like the DM's got this map in their head of how the fight's going to play out, which is it's going to run up, it's going to flash, it's going to blind, well, float up, flash, blind everybody, get started possessing, etc., etc. And, you know, again, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's what the rules say it can do, that's what the rules say it can do, but it feels a little bit forced. So the Magnesium Spirit is a good core concept, and we're going to see this over the next couple of monsters, that it has interesting mechanical, that where it doesn't just want to kill you, it specifically wants to possess your body, and has a system for doing it, and, you know, kind of has some unusual, there's a lot of creatures in the next couple of entries that make use of sort of blindness or paralysis or something like that, and I think that that's always interesting because, in general, characters tend to get good at resisting or inflicting damage. So when you have monsters that, you know, don't just straight do damage, they can often become more fascinating even if they're not very powerful in combat. Not that that applies to the Magnesium Spirit, which is AC-0 and isn't hurt by normal weapons anyway. So it's a bit good, but then on the other hand, I guess if you're going to go around hunting people who are 9th level, you tend to be a bit good. Next up, we have the Mantari. The Mantari? And look, it's a manta ray, but it flies, and it has a stinger in its tail, so I guess it's a stingray, really. This is a weird creature that feels more at home in a kind of science fiction sword and planet kind of, or science fantasy sword and planet setting, than where it's supposed to hang out, which is in dirty dungeon rooms where its prey is commonly found. But its prey kind of could be anything, right? It sort of flies along and stings thing on the ground with its tail, so it could be whatever. And it flies at a height of 10 to 12 feet, which I guess means there's pretty high ceilings in these dirty dungeon rooms. Anyway, the Mantari is basically like a flying manta ray. It stings people with its tail, and that's what it does. It has an interesting damage mechanic, which is that its tail inflicts damage that by like agitating the target's nervous system, so how much damage you take is based on what your con is, in one of the rare instances of an attribute actually being directly important in Dungeons & Dragons. I do think, you know, in general, I'm a big fan of Alan Hunter, but I do feel like the illustration here doesn't really help the Mantari. Indeed, we've seen a couple. There's another Ray monster in the Monster Manual that winds up looking a bit daft, the Ishichachitl, because of its funny little teeth. Yeah, they both have that same kind of goofy sword and planet vibe, and they both kind of don't 100% work just because the illustration makes them look a bit silly. But there's nothing wrong with this monster. It's definitely kind of dangerous wildlife for a sort of lush alien jungle or someplace with a purple sky and three moons, you know. Definitely tells you you're in a certain type of fantasy. A certain type of fantasy that, you know, has a respectable history in Dungeons & Dragons, but I don't know what it's doing hanging out in dungeon rooms. Flying creatures in general, I wouldn't. And in case I didn't say so, the Mantari was created by David Wermel. And finally, we have the Measel, created by Dermot Jackson. Now, the Measel is not an infectious disease. Instead, it is a kind of goblin-like creature. It's a bit more of a horror monster, almost, than a fantasy monster. And what it likes to do is creep up on people and strangle them with its strangling rope. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's got some strangling rules in there. It's quite tough. With 4 hit dice, which is a shame because I think it'd be a lovely monster for lower level characters to face, but I guess since it tends to be solo, its number appearing 1, it needs to be a little buffer than you would otherwise expect for a little strangling monster. And sadly, the illustration by Russ Nicholson actually kind of gives us the lie, right? Because there what we see are a group of measles, one strangling a guy and 2 others dragging away the corpse of a previously strangled person. And that sort of almost makes more sense to me, right? That this is, you know, this is the area where like a hunting pack of measles is looking for people to, you know, to strangle with their strangling cords and then take back to their cave lair to gobble up. I also like that measles love gold. Not treasure, you understand, just gold. They pick the pockets of people or they strip the corpses of loot and they take all the gold, but they leave everything else behind. So it says there'd be like bones and piles of gems because measles don't understand that the gems are worth anything. So they just kind of leave them lying around. For a group that developed a sophisticated grasp of ambush tactics and pickpocketing skills, seems like a weird oversight. Or rather, I don't know where the measles got the idea that gold is valuable, unless somebody created them to be, you know, strangle burglars. Yeah, go out there, strangle some people, get some gold, and like, you know, thousands of years later, whatever weird secret society created these god-awful hybrids to, you know, go out and assassinate and rob its enemies has long faded into obscurity, but the measles are still there, just strangling people and taking gold, because that's what they do. The measle is some kind of, like, self-sustainable bioweapon engineered by a long-dead tyrant. That's a very me thing. Well, I always put long-destroyed empires in my... I think it's just my background as an archaeologist. I really like ancient ruins, and they wind up in any game I'm in, no matter how kind of inappropriate. Anyway, measles are pretty great, and like any old kind of hunched over humanoid, they really benefit from excellent illustrations by Russ Nicholson. All right, that's about all the time that we have for today's episode. In the next one, we're going to cover, well, 2 monsters or 5, depending on your perspective, because we're going to talk about the Meanlock and the collection of monsters that is Mephits. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the Deities and Demigods Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.